This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So inshallah ta'ala, we continue now with the virtues of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And subhanAllah, it's very hard when you're talking about specifically Khulafa al-Rashideen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all, to just narrow it down to their time with the Prophet ﷺ and the qualities that we should draw from them, because there are so many virtues and there's so much to learn from them, and their contributions literally take up thousands of pages within books in our Islamic history for us to really gain an appreciation for them. But as we said, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is someone who often gets neglected and left out. And so what I wanted to do was just to focus on how his virtues particularly tie to the significant moments in his life, especially with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the capacity of being amongst the firsts. And so one particular incident that takes place with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is unique specifically to him. And this is the incident of Bay'atul Ridwan, of the pledge of Ridwan under the tree in Hudaybiyah. And we all know the story of Hudaybiyah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions were on their way to Mecca. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for them fathan mubina, a great conquest, in that they would enter into a treaty that would give them the ability to grow their da'wah and would actually facilitate so much greater good than had they been able to go to Mecca in that particular year. Now, in the capacity of Hudaybiyah, as they were waiting, and we know that many of the companions just wanted to go forward, and there was, you know, at this point, such a love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a strength, such a connection, that they didn't fear anything. And so, you know, they wanted to go forward, as we know from the famous incident with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu in particular. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shaving his head at the advice of Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha to let the companions know that there would be no Umrah that particular year. Now, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent to Mecca as an ambassador to try to negotiate with Quraysh. And this is significant because obviously it takes into consideration, number one, the protection that he would have from his tribe. Number two, the relationships that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had established prior to Islam. And obviously there was going to be some level of reverence for Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a person on the part of the people of Mecca who loved him so much before Islam. And when you see Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu go forward, something happens. Uthman is there and he is negotiating on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on the Muslims, on behalf of the Muslims, and they held Uthman up in Mecca. As they held him up by delaying these negotiations, and I'm paraphrasing the incident, obviously, you could read about the whole Bay'atul Ridwan, but word gets back to the Muslims, a rumor gets back to the Muslims that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been killed. And subhanAllah, you know, I want you to contrast this, by the way, this moment to the moment that he will actually be killed, unfortunately, not by the mushrikeen, but by people who said, La ilaha illallah, right? I mean, subhanAllah, I mean, this, imagine the emotions that were stirred in the hearts of these people because of their love for Uthman, and of course, their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that caused them to love Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu so much beyond his character. At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes a pledge, and this was a pledge of death. A pledge of death. SubhanAllah, 1,400 people, 1,400 people, 1,400 years ago, go into a pledge with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with only one hypocrite abstaining, that they will go forth to death, that they will march towards Mecca to death because of the murder of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or they had heard of the murder of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they take this pledge one by one, under the tree with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, that Allah was pleased with the believers when they took this pledge with you under the tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, testifies to the goodness in their heart. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah knew what was in their heart. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon them tranquility and guaranteed for them a great reward and a conquest to come soon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those 1400 people about them, he said, "Antum khayru ahlil ard." You are the best people on the face of the earth. Subhanallah, what a beautiful way to be praised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Antum khayru ahlil ard." So as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking their pledge one by one under that tree to march forward to Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had finished taking all of their pledges, remember how Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not present at Badr, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted him amongst the veterans of Badr because of his intention and because of the circumstances that held him back. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes his hand and he clasps it with the other hand and he says, "Hada anni wa hada an Uthman." This is for me and this is Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, you know, what an incredible way of the Prophet ﷺ showing his love for you, to represent you with his own hand. Subhanallah, what an amazing blessing, right? How many people would have loved to be the hand of the Prophet ﷺ that day, that the Prophet ﷺ represented Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his own hand. And this is something that only belongs to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So just like he wasn't at Badr, but he has the full reward. He wasn't at Hudaybiyah, at Bay'atul Ridwan, but the Prophet ﷺ counted it for him, even though the entire cause was about him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, what was happening in Mecca at the time? As they were holding Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu up, one of the things that they said to him, they said that he can perform tawaf around the Kaaba in peace. That, you know, we'll let Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu fulfill what he wants to fulfill, but the Muslims can't come forward. Okay? And, you know, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu refused, saying that I will not perform tawaf before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he held back, subhanAllah, out of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the companions had even mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what if Uthman radiallahu anhu stays and Uthman is able to perform the tawaf? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing Uthman radiallahu anhu, the one who he represented with his hand, his son-in-law now twice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no matter how long he stays in Mecca, he will not perform tawaf until I perform tawaf. I know him, that this is not Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet ﷺ was speaking to the character and the goodness of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And of course, as it turned out, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not killed in Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, but Allah preserved the reward of all of those companions that took the bay'ah with the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the honor of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was represented by the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. Now, other than that and what we covered last week, what I wanted to turn to was, you know, this theme in the life of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him that he's going to be murdered. And subhanAllah, you know, I was just counting through the sources, there are no less than 10 times that the Prophet ﷺ told Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the most beloved person to Quraysh, the most beloved of Mecca, the kindest and most generous of the Muslims. I mean, who would want to harm Uthman, right? Over 10 times the Prophet ﷺ telling Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that one day you are going to be killed. And this is significant because it's not one time. And you know, Uthman radiallahu anhu knows this, that no matter what happens in his life now, that this is going to happen to him. And so I want to cover a few of these incidents because they are significant to understand, you know, how things are proceeding, the mindset of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and how he's going to approach life after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it starts off with a beautiful incident from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that I was in the company of the Prophet ﷺ in one of the gardens of Medina. You know, everyone would go looking for the Prophet ﷺ every day. So you go to the souq, you go to the baqi', you go to the masjid, actually in opposite order, right? You go to the masjid, you don't find him there, you go to the baqi', to the graveyard, you go to the marketplace, where is the Prophet ﷺ, right? And here, the Prophet ﷺ had retreated from the people, or he'd gone away from the people, and he was in this garden. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick in his hand, and he sat inside. He pulled up his pants sallallahu alaihi wasallam to where he would dangle his legs in this well, bi'r aris. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stick, and he was slowly striking the water, and he was moving the mud around. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a moment or in moments of contemplation and, you know, taking a break, right, away from the people in what he was doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. So subhanAllah, as they were looking for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man comes to the gate or of the garden and he asks permission to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells Abu Musa, who decided he's going to guard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's privacy, let him have his time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells Abu Musa, go and open the gate for him and give him the glad tidings of Jannah. So he said, I went to the gate and behold, it was none other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Always the first, right? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in and he was informed of the glad tidings of entering into Jannah. And he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he went and he sat next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sitting in this well, sitting at the edge of this well, dangling their feet in the water. And then another person comes and asks permission to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Musa, open the gate for him and give him the glad tidings of entering into Jannah, entering into another garden, the Garden of Al-Jannah, not just this garden. So Abu Musa says, I went, and who was it? None other than Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I opened the gate and I gave him the glad tidings of Jannah, and he came in. And then he said, another man came in and asked permission to enter into the garden. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that point, he was sitting in a leaning posture. So he was leaning, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he sat up at this point. And he said, open the gate for him. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَىٰ بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. Enter him into, or open the gate for him, and give him the glad tidings of entering paradise after a calamity that will befall him, after a hardship that will befall him. SubhanAllah, he didn't say this, alayhi salatu wasalam, for Abu Bakr or for Umar. He said it for him, for this particular man. He said, I went, and behold, it was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I opened the gate for him, and I gave him the glad tidings of entering Jannah after a hardship that would befall him. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, Allahul Musta'an. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is help sought. And he goes and he enters radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman, into this garden. And he sits across from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Now, this is significant for many reasons, and you've probably heard me speak about this incident in multiple occasions, but I want to connect this particularly to a recent khutbah. Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah? Do you think you will enter into Jannah? And then you hear the example of those that came before you and the ways in which they struggled, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connecting particularly the hardship to al-jannah. In the case of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is a am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have just given him the glad tidings of Jannah there, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Jannah after a hardship that will strike you. In another incident, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on Uhud, and with him on Jabal Uhud was Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, these three once again. And as the Prophet ﷺ was walking on Uhud, Uhud shook. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Uthbut ya Uhud, be firm, O Uhud, because you have upon you a Nabi, a Siddiq, and Shahidain. You have upon you a Prophet, a man of truth. We talked about a Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and two martyrs. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already informed both Umar and Uthman at this point that they would be shuhada, that they would be amongst those who were martyred. And there are numerous incidents that take place along the same regard. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was talking about the fitna, he was talking about the trials that would befall us as a community, and the hardship and the strife. And then this man walked by and he was wrapped up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this man will be upon al-haq wal-huda, this person will be upon truth and guidance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it multiple times. So then Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu unwrapped his face. And I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, him? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, him. Another narration from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "O Uthman, perhaps Allah will clothe you with a certain garment. And if the hypocrites demand that you remove it from yourself, do not remove it until you meet me." SubhanAllah, the wording here is very important when we talk about the murder of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The garment is the khilafah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would remind Uthman radiallahu anhu later on in his life when he wanted to just, you know, he thought about just, why don't I just relinquish this, because that would solve the problem, or maybe it would solve the problem. And تَنْزِعْ قَمِيسًا قَمَسَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا, do not take off a garment that Allah clothed you with. Remember what the Prophet ﷺ said to you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not remove it until you meet me, until you meet me. And another narration from Aisha radiallahu anha also, that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet ﷺ told him to come close. And he got so close that the Prophet ﷺ was whispering into his ear. And as the Prophet ﷺ was whispering into his ear, Uthman radiallahu anhu's face was changing colors. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him if he comprehended, if he understood the gravity of what he was saying. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded that his ears had heard and his heart has accepted what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And this is not just to Uthman, subhanAllah, this is to the community as a whole. The Prophet ﷺ said, you're going to face turmoil and differences, fitna, after I'm gone. And one of the people says to the Prophet ﷺ, and you know, what would help us at that time, Ya Rasulullah? What do we do at that time? He said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْأَمِينِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ. He pointed to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, stay close with this trustworthy one and his companions. Stay close with this trustworthy one and his companions. So this is another honor for Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet ﷺ would call him Al-Amin, the same nickname that the Prophet ﷺ had. So stay close with this Amin and those that are with him. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another narration, whoever is saved from three things will indeed be saved. And what he meant, alayhi salatu wassalam, was the fitna, the types of fitna that would come in these three things. He said, my death, so the death of the Prophet ﷺ was a major fitna, a major trial. And he said, the ascension of Dajjal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, Allahumma ameen. And then he said, the murder of a khalifa who is persevering upon the truth and fulfilling his duty. So this is, as the scholars mentioned, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the fitna of the murder of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet ﷺ is putting it on the scale of these other two fitnas. Obviously not exactly the same, but the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning it within the capacity of the other two fitnas. And we know how deep and how troublesome those other two fitnas would be. And I want to mention one more narration, and then we'll just kind of fast forward inshallah ta'ala here. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha describes this incident, she says that the Prophet ﷺ was one day laying down and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered in. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was lying down on his bed. He wasn't really, he was relaxed, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he remained in that relaxed posture when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in. And, you know, Abu Bakr spent some time. He fulfilled his need there and then he went away. Then Umar radiallahu anhu came. SubhanAllah, this seems to be the constant, right? Umar radiallahu anhu came. He asked permission to enter. He entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained laying down in that way. He fulfilled his need and then he went away. Then Uthman radiallahu anhu came. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked permission to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits up. He fixes his clothes, alayhi salatu wasalam. He tells Aisha radiallahu anha to cover herself properly. Not referring to the hijab, but to, you know, increase the appearance. Obviously, she was already covered, if the presence of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in there, but to get things set up in a certain way, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam received him in a certain way that he didn't receive Abu Bakr or Umar. May Allah be pleased with them. And so he came in, Uthman radiallahu anhu came in, he spent some time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fulfilled his need, and then he left. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, obviously she was shocked by what she had seen, right? Because Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, as incredible of a human being and as great as Uthman radiallahu anhu is, he's not superior to Abu Bakr and Umar, right? Radiallahu anhum. So she says, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I saw something that I hadn't seen before, and you did not prepare for the entrance of Abu Bakr and Umar the way that you did for Uthman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala astahi mimman yastahi minhu al-malaika?" Should I not be shy from a man that even the angels are shy from? Subhanallah. Should I not be shy from a man that even the angels are shy from? Another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uthman is a shy man, and I was afraid that if he entered while I was upon that state, he would not tell me of his need." And the ulama explained this in two ways. One possibility is that, you know, if he saw, you know, some of the hardship, then he wouldn't have asked his need if it was something in that regard. And some of them, they said that what they meant by that is that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have been too shy to sit while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there. He would have hurried his visit because of the way that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so bashful, was so shy. So the point being that, you know, obviously this rank that Allah gave him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even the malaika, even the angels are shy from him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So let's just fast forward. And again, what I want to just reflect upon is the qualities of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and how those qualities play into the fitna that happened with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, the khilafah of Uthman was long. Was a long khilafah. It was, you know, so long, and there was so much that was in it of khair, of the spread of Islam, of so many contributions to Islam. But we often just focus on the last few years, which were the fitna that had to do with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And if you actually study the first decade of Uthman's khilafah and the incredible contributions and the way that Islam spread and what Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was able to accomplish, it was incredible. And it requires a study in and of itself. And those contributions are often affiliated only with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right? But what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had started in terms of the spread of Islam, obviously building on the foundations left from the short khilaf of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, continued in the life of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Islam spread, and in beautiful and meaningful ways. The infrastructure of the ummah was further built. So why the khilafah of Uthman, of all people, when you have such a noble man, such a person who is beloved, who is shy, who is humble, and you have the goodness of Islam spreading throughout the world for over a decade, why this khalifa to be the first one to be assassinated by someone saying La ilaha illallah, right? By people who claim to be doing so in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, you know, this is clear that, you know, the only way to hinder the progress of this particular khilafah, of this great man and everything that was happening, was to destabilize, was to cause dissension within. Because when fitna arises, we become too busy with ourselves to be productive. And by the time people figure out, you know, how unproductive fitna was and all of the sins that were accrued and all of the hardship and harm that was caused, the damage, you know, at that point becomes too late, right? And that's the problem, that subhanAllah, even amongst the Sahaba, this was able to occur. Obviously instigated from outside when you read about the khilafah of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but it took root. So how is it that a man who was this noble and this generous to the ummah, who financed the contributions to the spread of Islam, who gave so much to Islam, who was amongst the first to embrace the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message, who married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the virtues go on and on and on and on. How is it that him of all people is going to be targeted? And this is where it becomes so important for us to take a moment and pause on the way that rumors spread in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, especially for the age that we live in right now, and to take heed of this. I want you to just pay attention to this incident in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting with some of the companions, and it was Hajj. And Abdullah ibn Umar used to obviously receive people in Hajj and answer their questions in the time of Hajj. And a man from Egypt passed by and he saw some companions that were sitting with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, "Man al-qawm, who are these people?" And they said that these are Quraysh. He said, "Who's the old man amongst them?" And they said that this is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. So subhanAllah, even in his own lifetime, right, he's unrecognized despite who he is radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar, he's not recognizable to this man from Egypt. So he says to him, Ya ibn Umar, he says, oh ibn Umar, I want to ask you something. He says, go ahead. He said, did you know that Uthman fled from the battle of Uhud? Uthman is the Khalifa, right? Did you know Uthman fled from the battle of Uhud? He said, yes. He said, did you know Uthman wasn't even there at Badr? He said, yes. He said, did you know Uthman wasn't there at Bay'at al-Ridwan? He said, yes. The man says, you know, the man is shocked. Allahu Akbar, why is it that you let this person be the Khalifa? How could you, right? I mean, all these things. And he was, you know, he fled Uhud. He wasn't there at Badr. He wasn't there at Bay'at al-Ridwan. Now, subhanAllah, this is while Sahaba are still alive. This is while Sahaba are still alive. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he was there, right, at these, you know, for these incidents. And he says to him, he says, first of all, for Uhud, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the forgiveness for those that had left the battlefield of Uhud, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave them. So let's put that aside. But subhanAllah, can you imagine Badr and Bay'at al-Ridwan, both of them, right? We know the circumstances. As we've spoken about them with Badr and Bay'at al-Ridwan, Uthman radiallahu anhu wasn't present at Badr because the Prophet ﷺ permitted him to stay back and care for the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ counted him from the veterans of Badr. And he wasn't at Bay'at al-Ridwan. The whole Bay'ah, right, was sparked because of Uthman, the rumors that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had been killed in Mecca. But even at that time, while Sahaba were still alive, without the world of social media, look how these half-truths were spun and the fitna built up, right? Even in that ummah with those great people that were alive. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was targeted. So subhanAllah, it's very important for us to think about this. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةً, that you would, in ignorance, out of righteousness, even out of a sense of righteousness, would end up hurting a people out of ignorance. There were people that joined the fitna against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the movement against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that did so from a noble place because they believed all of the things that were being said. I mean, amongst them, even, can you imagine Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the youngest son of Abu Bakr. He Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died when he was an infant. So, but the fact that young people got caught up in this entire fitna, and think about our time. Right, subhanAllah, how this can happen, right? So these half-truths were spun, and what ends up happening is that subhanAllah, the web of lies continued to grow. So then they accused him, they said nepotism, they said that he stole money and he was spending upon his family from Baytul Mal. Then they said, oh, the menbar, Uthman radiallahu anhu raised the menbar. Then they said Uthman radiallahu anhu innovated in regards to the time of Fajr, in regards to the adhan being done twice. Uthman did this, Uthman did that. And it kept on increasing until the environment became impossible for Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is where it's important to pay attention to his qualities. Okay? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes the victim of this massive rumor mill. And this is not even in the time, subhanAllah, of telecommunications. Let's not even talk about social media. We're not talking about text messages here. We're talking about letters being written and people passing by word of mouth while Sahaba are still alive. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, this who is, you know, this person that the angels felt shy from and who was so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is targeted. And I want to talk about a few things here and how his qualities came into play. Number one, the Quran, his love of the Quran. SubhanAllah, when a person is in fitna, in any hardship, not even just fitna, you're going through hardship, where do you find your ease? You should find it in the Qur'an, right? You find it in the Qur'an. At-ta'alluq bi kitabillah. You go back and you tie yourself to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say? He used to say, لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا. If our hearts were pure, مَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. Our hearts would never become sick of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would never become full of the words of Allah, and that you would never, the word I'm looking for, like the thirst would not be quenched for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. Right? They would always crave the Qur'an if our hearts were pure. So the purer the heart, the more that it craves the Qur'an. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, إِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَأْتِي عَلَيَّ يَوْمٌ. I would hate that even a day passes by me. لَا أَنْظُرُ فِيهِ. And I don't look at the page of a mushaf. I would hate that a day even passes by me without me staring at the mushaf, without me reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the books of fada'il, the books of the virtues of Uthman, mention things like him reading the Qur'an in its entirety twice a day. Mention things like him doing a khatam of the Qur'an in front of the Kaaba in one rak'ah or two rak'ahs. You know, subhanAllah, it's unreal. And even when the fitna was taking place, when his home was under siege, and these people who had, again, you know, fallen victim to the slander of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and are attacking him, one of the family members of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu screams out and she says, اُقْتُلُوهُ أَوْدَعُوهُ, you kill him or you leave him. فَوَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ كَانَ يُحْيِي اللَّيْلَ بِالْقُرْآنِ فِي رَكْعَةٍ. This man used to revive the entire night his entire night with a recitation of the Qur'an in one rak'ah. This is a man who is deeply connected to the Qur'an. So whatever you do to him, know that this is a person that's connected to the Qur'an. And subhanAllah, what would end up happening is that he would even die, right, while reading the Qur'an. Allah would take the life of Uthman. And this is something that we often do not appreciate when we're talking about Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's with the short time that we have to cover him here. You know, his connection to the Qur'an did not just show up at the time of death. His connection to the Qur'an was constant. And at the time of death, what ends up happening? He's sitting and he's reading the Qur'an as the people barge in on him. And they murder him while he's reading. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah will suffice you in regards to them. And Allah is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. He's reading the Qur'an as he's killed. That type of a gift, that type of an ending, does not just show up at the end. Right? Saying La ilaha illallah at the time of death does not show up for a person that does not live La ilaha illallah in life. These types of words, right, can only root themselves in the heart when a person is constant upon them. So it's a reminder to all of us, especially as we're encountering the hardship that we're encountering, you know, with COVID and the pandemic and so much that's going on. The Qur'an, alayna bil Qur'an, upon us is the Qur'an, and to create that connection to the Qur'an. And subhanAllah, imagine with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu then, the way that the character of the Qur'an or the qualities of the Qur'an mentioned, showed themselves in the behavior of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So imagine what, لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O you who believe, do not void your charity بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى by boasting about your charity or harming the one that you're giving charity to. Imagine that, right? Imagine what this does to you if you're Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right? So Uthman would not come out and boast about what he did for the ummah. Uthman was not going to remind these people of fitna constantly and say, hey, remember I did this and I did that. And don't you know the Prophet ﷺ told me this, and don't you know that I did this, and don't you know that I did that, right? He doesn't do that radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu does not boast about his charity, nor does he harm the people that he gives charity to. Imagine what Surah Al-Layl, which we talked about, you know, was revealed in regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى, that this person does not seek approval from anyone but the Lord the Most High. They seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine what that does to Uthman radiallahu anhu when he reads these words in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it starts with that connection to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an, which lasts obviously beyond the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, and what Uthman radiallahu anhu did to keep a constant connection with the Qur'an to keep him going through all of these times. And his haya, which already existed before Islam and was only beautified in Islam, his modesty stops him from mentioning his favors to the people. So Uthman radiallahu anhu is not going to come out and continue to mention his favors upon the people, right? He's going to keep that to himself, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His generosity with those that spread the rumors and caused his siege, okay, and continue to hold him under siege. Where does Uthman radiallahu anhu get this? Number one, he fears dhulm to an extreme. He fears oppression himself, being an oppressor to an extreme. And, you know, I was thinking about this, subhanAllah. You read about the trials of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then you compare that to the hadith of the Prophet where he says, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَان مَا فَعْلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. Nothing will hurt Uthman after what he's done today. But subhanAllah, I mean, look what he goes through, right, with the siege. Again, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Nothing will hurt him in regards to his standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rank with Allah. And so it's as if you can see Uthman radiallahu anhu's concern becomes not to compromise that position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his generosity with those who spread the rumors, who caused the siege, who held him under siege, his fear of dhulm. There was once a servant, a young servant who Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, you know, he was an old man, right? He's well into his seniority, and he pinches the servant just to get his attention. And the young servant looked like he was upset by it. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was hurt that he might have hurt that young man. So he says, pinch me back. He goes down and he says, grab my ear, pinch me back. And this young servant is saying, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have no desire to do so. I don't want to pinch your ear. No, of course I'm not going to pinch your ear. And he insisted and he kept on pushing him, pinch, grab my ear, pinch it. And this young man is saying, no. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, please pinch it. And then he pinches it. And he just, you know, touches it. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, pinch harder, grab it harder. And he says to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't want to. And he says, please. He says, because qisas al-dunya, inna qisas al-dunya ahwanu min qisas al-akhirah, to feel the pain of retaliation in this world is far easier than feeling the pain of the retaliation in the hereafter. SubhanAllah, look at that beautiful akhlaq that he displays. His selflessness. You know, you have the likes of Ali and Al-Hassan wal-Husayn, may Allah be pleased with them. Talha wa Zubair, may Allah be pleased with them. These people that are saying, let us fight for you. Let us fight on your behalf. Let us kill these people, right, that are causing all of this. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, do not shed a drop of blood in my cause. Not a drop of blood in my cause. So subhanAllah, you can see the sincerity of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu in that, you know, everything that he did for the ummah, when this now happens to him, Uthman did not change his character. Right? Uthman did not say, you know what, forget about you guys. I've done all this for you for decades, I've served, and this is what I get in return, forget about you guys. Let it break loose, right? Let's go ahead and pull the swords and let's just cause chaos. Because his sincerity was to Allah, his sincerity was to Rasulullah, and his sincerity was to the ummah. Okay? His sincerity was to the ummah. That he would rather be the first khalifa to be killed by members of this ummah rather than to have members of this ummah killed in his name. And he didn't want it, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he maintained his sincerity to Allah, his sincerity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sincerity to the ummah until the time of his death. And, you know, we end with, and I don't care how many times I would say this, subhanAllah, wallahi, it is, you know, the goal of every believer, right, is to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the last day of his life, he goes to sleep in a state of fasting. He takes a nap, he's fasting. It's a Thursday, and he sees none other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Uthman, have they prohibited you from water? And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, Na'am ya Rasulullah. You know, it's like complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Yes, O Messenger of Allah, they're not letting me have water. Have they forbidden you from food? They're not giving me food. They're starving him. They are torturing him in every way, holding him under siege, setting fire to his house, all types of things. And Ya Uthman, did they prohibit you from praying in my masjid? Na'am ya Rasulullah. They're not even letting me pray in your masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ tells Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abshir ya Uthman, glad tidings, O Uthman. Tonight you will break your fast with I, Abu Bakr, and Umar. SubhanAllah, you'll get to join us again. Remember that garden, this is not the narration, but that garden when they were sitting, right? Just like you enter into the gate at that point, number three, you're going to enter into this gate. You're going to enter into this realm and you're going to have iftar with us tonight. I, Abu Bakr and Umar will be waiting for you and we will break our fast together. And subhanAllah, it happens that he wakes up and he is killed again reading the Quran. He's so happy when he wakes up from this nap, because what do you want, right? I mean, at that point, what do you want? What's left of this world, right? That you have the Prophet ﷺ waiting for you. So he is murdered reading the Quran and ready to break his fast with the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. And subhanAllah, we end on the story of Uthman radiallahu anhu, back to that moment of the garden where they sat in that garden and they dangled their feet in the well. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was prohibited from being buried in the Baqir. Not only would he be prohibited from being buried close to the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar, he would not be buried in the Baqir. They prohibited a janazah, a public janazah, because they knew that it would cause the emotions to flare. So the people that murdered him, that had held Medina under siege, they forced his burial to be at night. No public janazah, nothing, to try to hold back the people so that the emotions would not be stirred at the death of this nobleman, the murder of this nobleman in such a way. And subhanAllah, you know, Sa'id ibn Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, you know, the way that Uthman radiallahu anhu is placed at the well, right? He's across from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, is the way he's buried, right? That if you look at the symmetry, the way that it is, the way that the grave of Uthman is placed radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is as if they're sitting in that well together and he's the one that's sitting across from them. And Allah Azza wa Jal so willed it that the Baqir would expand to include the grave of Uthman. So now if you go to Jannat al-Baqir, when you go to the graveyard and you walk in, as you go forward, it's hard to give the precise location, but there is a sign, you know, that talks about the prohibitions in the graveyard, and there is usually a guard that's sitting there, and it's distant from the initial opening of al-Baqir, where you have a lot of the prominent companions and family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Uthman radiallahu anhu's grave is there in Al-Baqir today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all upon the family, the companions, al-Khulafa al-Rashideen. May Allah azza wa jalla join us with them and with our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.